Fritz Voltaire on his left foot. Remy Voltaire! SKC in front at home! Denny Rosero's up for it, and Sporting Kansas City double their lead!
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Tommy will strike first time. Eric Tommy buries it!
Now here's your host, the voice of Sporting, Blake Arney.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. It's myself, Blake Arney, as always, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen. And John, Sporting Kansas City coming out of the weekend, a tough loss in Minnesota. It's been a little bit of frustration settling into the team, but as things go, I feel like the team's mentality is still there. They're still focused, but a lot of things that they definitely need to work on, need to fix going into a big week coming up in RSL.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I really liked that Sporting Kansas City did well in this last match was possession, right? I think that they kept 62% of the possession that match. That obviously shows, for the most part, away. I don't know if I would say dominated, but at least kind of had a game plan, stuck to possession. You know, they did have about one less expected goals, which makes sense, right? Losing 2-1. But I still think they had 8 shots. So only one on target, which obviously ended in the goal. But like, they're still, in my opinion, keeping possession, trying to get chances. It's just continuing to close out matches and defend. And they got to get a clean sheet at some point. I mean, I think they started the season off very well. You know, I thought this team was really trending in the right direction. And I still think they are. Just obviously with the results as of late, you're scoring a ton of goals, but you're conceding a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's a tough place to be, is, you know, in a matchup where you have conceded a lot of goals, but also scored a lot of goals, but the results haven't fallen in your favor. And then you go into this matchup against Minnesota, a team that hasn't been the best this year at home against, or, you know, in front of their fans, in front of the Wonderwall section that they are so proud of. And then you go in there and you concede as early as Sporting did. It kind of makes that whole mentality of, we're going to go in there and we're going to focus on getting the clean sheet. We know the goals will come. That felt like that's what the mentality was. And that gets thrown out the window, you know, a minute and a half into the match. Mm-hmm. It makes things difficult. You have to kind of replan, you know, find your way back into the match. And obviously they started to at the point when they were already 2-0 down. But when you're already 2-0 down, it makes working your way into the match and finding your form a little bit, well, not a little bit, a whole lot more difficult.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about almost every single match how well Sporting has been on set pieces, mainly on the attack. I do think they've given away some things here and there on the defensive set pieces, and that obviously happened against Minnesota. But I think that they've been one of the best teams in the league offensively on set pieces, and it's just, like you said, I mean, it's just so hard to go down early in a match, especially on the road, and try and get, and still try and get something out of it. I think you listen to some of the players that talk during the week, and, you know, they're going there fully expecting and fully wanting 3 points. I mean, it wasn't, we're going there to get a result. It's, we're going there to get a win. And then you give up an early goal, and it's kind of like, I mean, a result now is good, right? And then obviously you're clawing back and fighting back the entire match to get that.
Yeah, and like I said, going down 2-0, as much as the fans and people around the game like to say it's the most dangerous scoreline in soccer, because, you know, you get that first goal back, you really gain the momentum back. It felt like Sporting, they get that goal, they started to play with some more momentum, but Minnesota did a really good job of slowing things down, slowing Sporting down, and not allowing them to get back into the match, because it felt, going into the second half at least, Sporting had turned the match on its head a little bit. It was 2-1. They could get some impact subs off the bench. We knew Johnny Russell was going to come in likely later in that match, but it just never really came to fruition in the second half. It felt like the team was putting things together, but couldn't create as many chances as I would say they did in that first half. You know, you think of that Willie Agata chance that he could have put away, the penalty shout that I look back at, and it's not completely a gimme in my book. I mean, I know you talked about on the broadcast that you thought it should have been a penalty. I think after I watched it back, I could see it going either way, but I also would probably lean on the side of, I understand why the referee didn't call that. But, you know, you look at those moments and you say, okay, Sporting did create a lot of good chances in that first half. And then the second half came around and it felt like those chances weren't quite as, you know, as they were more far and few and far between.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you. And it was also nice to see Kyrie Shelton come back from his injury. But one thing I noted, and I think that's why they didn't create as many chances, was Minnesota was basically playing with the five in the back. So very difficult to break them down. And I think it once they got that goal early, you know, their five in the back was just going to be really hard to break down. They didn't need to necessarily get another goal, obviously, until Sporting ends up getting the third goal there to make it 2-1. But, you know, they didn't need to continue to attack and continue to go forward because they were up 1-0 already. So they could be defensively sound, and for the most part they were. And, like, don't get me wrong, this Minnesota team is a very good team. I mean, sure, they didn't have a great home form going into that match, but a very solid team. They had a decent season last year. They're all fighting. I mean, everyone is, right? But they're all fighting for their jobs because this is a new coach. So they're trying to show them that they deserve to be in the starting 11. So you had just a lot of hungry guys who were playing at home and who weren't in great form. And it was not going to be an easy task for Sporting.
And I think you do have to give credit to Eric Ramsey, the new head coach in Minnesota. That team was well put together. And the fact that they have changed up their tactics a little bit, they've switched to that five at the back. They've moved, I believe it was Arriaga, they moved him back kind of into a more of a center back role as opposed to his normal defensive midfield position. Mm-hmm. And that's allowed them a lot more stability. They figured out a way to, you know, lock things down. And like against a team like Sporting, who scored 18 goals this year, coming into the match had scored 17. Like, they had scored a lot of goals. They were, you know, Sporting's a team that is very dangerous going forward and still is. And so I think that was their focus last week the week before Sporting Kansas City, when they got that 1-0 win away against Charlotte, and then it worked again against Sporting Kansas City. So I feel like, you know, there's a lot of credit to be given to this new head coach, this new coaching staff in Minnesota. They've done a very good job in a very short amount of time to have Minnesota as high up the table as they are. But then, you know, you flip that and on Sporting Kansas City's side, you talked about it kind of going into the match and at some points during the match that there have been moments this year where SKC have given up things at the back post. They've given up those opportunities, and we saw it again there. So I think that's, you know, I'm sure from the fans' perspective and even from the coaching staff perspective on Sporting Kansas City, is when some of these defensive mistakes have crept in and then continue to happen. You know, you look at that goal, there was argument whether or not it was offside. Again, I think the more I saw that one, I agree with the referee's call on the field. We saw, you know, how close it was, but the fact that the ball was ahead of Danny Rosero, I think he's onside there, and the referee called it that. It was not clear and obvious. They score that goal. You know, I think there's a lot of credit to be given to Minnesota, but at the same time, for that coaching staff, for the fans to see those things kind of continue to happen, it gets a little frustrating, and I can understand why that's the case. But, you know, I hope at least going forward, looking at that RSL game, looking at, you know, Omaha and the Open Cup and all those matches ahead, that they can start to get some confidence from those matches.
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Is Omaha, I think that's going to be that it's a very good team, and it's going to be a tough match, especially at their place. Just Open Cup in general, no matter who you're playing, it's always a tough match. But I think that fans and coaching staff and teammates want to see players learn from mistakes and limit those mistakes going forward, and hopefully not make them again. I mean, mistakes are going to happen. It's inevitable. It's part of the game. And it's how you kind of rebound and how you respond to those. But if you keep making them over and over again, that's when coaches usually kind of make switches, right? And so far, in my opinion, the team has played very well. Kind of the whole season, you hear Peter talk about it all the time. You know, he likes the performances. There have been, you know, some individual mistakes here and there, but for the most part, the overall performance has been good, other than the fact that they just haven't been able to kind of close out some of those matches where they were leading. You know, I would like to add to the fact that it was nice to see Daniel Shallowy again with an assist. Like, you know, he gets the goal in the previous match against St. Louis, and then he gets an assist here. Like, maybe he's kind of, okay, you know.
You can see me smiling, John. You know exactly what I was going to say.
Well, it's a goal in my book. I'm going to say it's
a goal with an asterisk. And in the Sporting Kansas City show's mind, it was a goal.
Yeah. Well, either way, he created that goal as well. So, you know, he helps create this goal against Minnesota. I just think maybe he's starting to kind of find his rhythm, which Sporting's definitely needed. You know, you get Alan Pulido, who's been getting on the score sheet as of late. So it is good to see some of these guys who maybe started off slower in the season start to kind of catch fire a little bit. And you said it yourself, like the Omaha match, you're going to get some young players who are going to be able to play. It's another chance for a trophy. Like, you know, those are do or die games. So really, if you get a good result in those and you continue to go down the Open Cup path, I mean, that does give you a lot of confidence. And especially for some of the guys who don't get to play as much or see as many minutes, I mean, you can kind of see a star in the making if you end up going further along down that Open Cup path and they get more minutes.
Yeah, I think that feels like a chance to kind of revitalize this season. Not that the season has gone awfully, you know, terrible by any means. It there have been great moments, and the team has played very well despite not picking up a ton of points. Compared to last season, they're in a much better spot. But obviously, it's not last season. However, the way I look at things, you look at the month of May in recent years for Sporting Kansas City, and every point going past that, it's been very good to them. So it feels like this is about the time where some of those midweek matches start. You know, Sporting Kansas City have really started to pick up points at this point in time last year and the year before. Open Cup comes in, you have a good match in that one. You pick up some points before it, you pick up some points after it, and then you start to get rolling throughout the season. You're starting to play more matches. I just feel like that right now is the thing that Sporting Kansas City can look forward to, and a lot of those positives. And talk about, like you said, some of those guys who can start to get more minutes, start to fight their way into the squad. One of those guys, going back to this Minnesota match, he wasn't playing against Minnesota because he was suspended, but he did sign a new contract with Sporting Kansas City, Jake Davis, who will likely be working his way right back into the starting lineup against Real Salt Lake. Some big news surrounding Jake Davis. He signed a new contract through 2027, an option for 2028. I mean, it's great news for him. It's great to see a young player that came through Sporting's Academy that has been a homegrown sign a new contract and etch his future with this club. So we actually got the chance during the week to talk to Peter Vermees and Jake Davis in a little joined press conference. So we'd love for you guys to hear some of that audio from Thursday's press conference.
Peter and Jake here. Just if you guys kind of talk about contract extension, one from Peter from your side, just the growth that you've seen from Jake over the last year, and why you feel he's deserving it too. Jake, just how you feel about it as a whole.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I feel great. Obviously, it's a great achievement for myself, but when I signed my first deal, Peter always said that it's always about the next contract and working for that. So this is a great moment in my career, but I think I'm taking the same approach. And, I have three more years here now. And, again, I'm just working for the next contract and try to become the best player I can be in that time.
I go back and say kind of what I've said many times, and that is there are many guys that have chances, whether it be through the pro player pathway or, come in from somewhere else and they come to the team in a different mechanism. At the end, it all comes down to how much you want it. And the thing that I can say about Jake is that even though, and it always is this way, normally speaking, it's tough because you got the ups and downs of, you're in, you're out, you're not playing. You're always fighting for it, but he always had to fight. And at the end, that's what that resilience is what pushed him through to the other side. And then the fact that he was able to take from a good mentality perspective, take on the position that he really didn't come in, come into the team or come into his first professional contract as, it was more as a midfielder. The fact that he adapted and adjusted and now has made that his position is a credit to him and his work and his resilience, because he, it can be a really tough road as a young player when you're trying to break in because you're fighting a lot of different things. And he did that, and I give him a lot of credit for it.
Maybe a larger picture for the club standpoint. I know a lot of times academy success is seen as it's successful if you develop and sell for profit, but that he had to develop and have a key cog that's going to be part of your team in the future too. Just kind of speak to the success of that side for the academy.
Yeah, I think there's all different ways that you can measure success, right? It's not always on the sale of a player. There's different things. I think the way I look at it is it's kind of the evolution of a player within your club is that you first have to identify. The identify is like you're saying, hey, I think that player's got something. The next part is the evaluation. Does that player really fit what you're looking for? The next is the recruitment. Then it's the execution of a contract. Now the player participates, or I should say they develop, they participate. The question is now from there, do they help you win? And then from there, is it retention? Is it transfer? Is it exit? And in that world, when they exit or they transfer or what have you, do they transfer, exit, whatever you want to call it, do they leave a champion, a legend, a citizen, or a villain at the end of the day? And so that's where it is.
You spoke about how he, took ownership of that right back spot, but what qualities made him maybe a good right back? Was it anything from his midfield days or?
Well, I always think that, look, I, having been a center forward and then moving backwards, and I don't mean this this is not a backhanded slam on people. No, not even on you, just on the position. But when you're a defender, you're facing the field. When you're a midfielder or a forward, you usually got your back to the goal. It's more difficult to play that way. You don't see. You got to have eyes in the back of your head. When you get a chance to see the game in front of you, it makes it a lot easier. And you can anticipate things a little bit better because you knew what it was like to be in that other place. And now when you want to give a ball to a midfielder, you have a better, or a forward, you have a better idea because you played in that advanced position. So I think when you come backwards, it can be, again, much easier. But, again, you can't do it if you don't have a good mentality. And that's what Jake has. Jake has a good mentality. He wants it. He wants it, right? And I say this all the time. There's so many players that do not make it in this game that have unbelievable qualities, but it's because they don't have the right mentality. They don't, if you cut them, you don't know if they bleed. If you listen, you don't know if they had a heartbeat. And that's why they don't make it.
Jake, as this contract was coming to this last year, were you ever looking at anywhere else?
No. I just was focused on, I think I said this in an interview in the past, I just was very present and I was focused on one game at a time, and my mind has always been on Sporting, and obviously I came to the academy here and I grew as a professional here, so I didn't have my mind anywhere else. I don't know if you were expecting me to say like Europe or not, but no, I was always thinking about Sporting.
And this one just kind of for Jake, how special is it for you for this to be a club that you came to at a young age, played in the academy, and now you're going to be spending a good portion of your career here?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, I've worked really hard for this, I believe. And I think, like Peter said, there's a lot of highs and lows, and I've gone through that in the academy. And I think I've just grinded my way to where I am now. And when I was in the academy, I don't think, I wasn't a standout player. I just worked my nuts off and, kept my head down and did the work. And
I don't know if that's a good word.
Yeah. I worked.
Might do that again, maybe.
I worked hard in the academy, and I just kept my head down and stayed focused on myself and trying to become a better player every day, 1% better every day. And when it went from the academy to training with the second team, and then signing an academy contract with the second team, and then playing games in the USL, and then signing my first deal and playing games in USL and MLS Next Pro, I think I always just kept my head down and did the work. And to sit here right now with Peter and the club and know that I just signed a new contract means a lot, because I feel like I've worked for it. But again, I feel like I want to keep the same attitude and know that I'm going to keep my head down and work as hard as I can to make sure I become a better player every day for this club.
How justified now does that move down here to Kansas City to join the academy just feel now?
Wait, what'd you say?
How justified, how good is that move down to Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think, of course it was worth it. I never had a doubt. That never crossed my mind.
Just one more question. Did you have it in your contract, no more April Fool's jokes?
I hope. Maybe Brian put that in there somewhere. That, I just want to say thank you, too, because I remember from my USL debut, maybe even when I was just on the USL team, you were there talking to me, asking me questions after the game. So it's special that you're here sitting with me right now and still here with me. So I appreciate that because you've been with me from the start.
Just some great news around Sporting Kansas City. Jake Davis signed through 2027, a club option for 2028. it was great to hear from Jake and to hear from Peter about how much he has grown as a player. So that was Jake Davis during the week on Thursday, but looking back at that matchup against Minnesota United, it feels like Sporting Kansas City, despite maybe not starting the season quite as well as they would have hoped, maybe, you know, much better than they started the year last year, John, it feels like SKC can turn this around quickly. There's no reason they can't do what they've done in the past because of how good the month of May and the summer has been to them in previous years.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, you look at last year and they obviously started off better, but they did start to accumulate a lot of points here kind of in the summer. And so I think Sporting Kansas City started better off this year, and now they've kind of gone on the streak where they haven't won since March 30th against Toronto. So, I think they're desperately looking for that win again to get back on track. And, it could come this weekend against Salt Lake, but very good Salt Lake team as well, which we'll talk about later in the segment. But regardless, I think they're still in a decent position. You're only one position out of the playoffs, but I'd like to start seeing some more results here, right? And really wins. Needing to climb that leaderboard, and Daniel Shallow even talked about it. You're kind of at that 10-game point here. Peter's found his team, his identity. It's kind of what he's looking for. How can he tweak things here and there? And now you just got to start accumulating as many points as you possibly can. Going through kind of this busy stretch, going through the summer, you know, maybe transfer here or there. And then as you approach playoffs, you got to get above that line. You got to get, as high as possible to get those home field advantage.
It's still early in the season, but as you said, you got to start climbing your way up. You got to start finding your way back closer to that playoff line, if not over that playoff line. And then as you get to that League's Cup break and that the point after that, that's when you really need to start making your push. So plenty of time for Sporting, but they definitely need to get some points, as you said, in Salt Lake, a great opportunity to go and do that. A really good Salt Lake team that we'll talk about in a later segment. But we did have a great conversation with Sporting Kansas City's Caden Pierre. That's coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned with us here on the Sporting KC Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. We are now joined by Sporting Kansas City defender Caden Pierre. Caden, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
So I have to ask you this. I'm doing well. Sorry, I should answer your question, but I have to ask you this because I was thinking about this as you were coming into the room and everything. I call you KP. It feels like everyone around here calls you KP. Yeah. Does anyone ever call you Caden?
If you call me Caden, it's something serious, you know?
Okay.
I turn around real quick. It's got to be serious. Even my parents now honestly don't even call me Caden. Sometimes my mom, but very rarely now. Very rarely. Is it KPOs now?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Have you, is that, I guess growing up, did that kind of just happen and stick?
No, you know what's crazy? It started when I came here, actually, because there was another guy named Caden. So one of the academy coaches was like, oh, we're going to call you KP. And ever since then, it's totally stuck.
Yeah, it's a good nickname.
Yeah, it is a good nickname.
It works well.
Out. Yeah.
So, you know, I ask this general question, I think, to a lot of guys, but I kind of want to stray away because for you, I think there's an interesting topic that I found out recently about you that we can kind of get to know you a little bit better. Yeah. But it sounds like in around 2015 in your middle school days, you were a member, or you played chess and you went to a national chess tournament and you finished pretty highly. You've got to tell us about that because like, how do you get into chess at a young age and then also obviously get as good as you got?
Yeah. Well, I think it first started when I was really little. I mean, me and my dad used to play board games all the time. My family loves board games. Like, when I'm back home, we play board game or card game every night. So I really like games growing up. And then he taught me chess, and I really caught on and like joined the chess team. And then as I started to get good, my dad started taking me to all these tournaments that were all over the country. And then, yeah, that Nationals that year, I actually did pretty good. Placed like 13th. In the nation for my age and stuff, so it was pretty good. Then it went downhill from there, but it was good though. But yeah, no, chess is, I still play to this day, to be honest. I still play every now and then, but it's not the same as when I was back in my prime, I should say.
Back in your prime. Okay, there you go.
Prime,
you know, just casually finishing 13th in the national tournament.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Prime, yeah.
So I guess this is probably this could be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm curious, because do you feel like having played chess, it maybe helps you out on the field mentally or even just in your daily life? Do you feel like that sharpness kind of carries over?
I would say so, yeah. I think because obviously in chess you have to think a lot, and I used to play I mean, some of my games would last 3-4 hours, so like I think it helps me in my daily life or on the field, just analyzing problems and solutions quickly, or even if it takes time and figuring something out. I think it does help me, though.
Yeah, decision-making for sure. But yeah, speaking about on the field, it was really good to see you back out on the field starting in that matchup against Minnesota last week. I guess for you, your last start was in 2022. You get back out there. How did it feel to be able to be back out on the pitch?
I was really excited. I mean, it feels really good. I mean, obviously anyone in the team wants to play, and I got the opportunity to play last weekend, and it felt really good to be back out there after a rough 2023 for me. I was out the most of the year, but to be out there and try to help the guys win felt really good.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about that. You've kind of struggled with some injuries getting your way back, but how do you kind of stay sharp in that time that you aren't able to be out on the field, and you know, you just have to work on yourself, but you can't always do that physically?
Well, obviously, couldn't run because my hammy, but I did a lot of stuff in the gym to make other parts of my body stronger, so it would help me back. But more of a lot of mental things, like on the field or off the field, and little things, if it's like what you're eating, sleeping, how you're hydrating, just little things to make sure that like my body is always in good condition so that when I'm back, I can be fully on the go.
Yeah, and I guess what does that look like? You know, when you were injured, it felt like there was also a couple other guys that were also struggling with some things, you know, working in and out of the squad. Do you guys, the guys that were injured at the time, do you feel like there's a little bit of a bond that's kind of built between those guys as you work back together?
100%, because, I mean, we're in the gym all day, we're joking around. I mean, obviously we both want to be out there, but, 100%. There's always jokes that go around, and it's super fun. It's a lot better when there's someone there, but obviously you don't want anyone there with you, but 100%, you build a bond with those, and then especially with the trainers that are helping you get back on the field.
Who were some of those guys that you were with that were helping you and kind of joking around with you?
Our athletic trainer, Fonzie, I would always joke around with him. He's always a goofball. Chris Wolber, I would always joke around with him. I would say those are two that I was mostly with when I was out.
Yeah, it feels like this staff, definitely from the guys that have been hurt, it feels like do a great job of not only getting you guys back to health, but also keeping you in high spirits. Yeah. It feels like you probably had a similar experience.
Obviously they're trying to do their job, but at the same time they make it. It's a good relationship with them, I would say.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, looking forward, you guys have a matchup this weekend against RSL and then U.S. Open Cup kind of quickly after on Wednesday. I guess, how do you guys stay focused with that match congestion, knowing, you know, coming into each matchup as you prepare, you don't have as much time to prepare for each matchup, and you're kind of just going on the fly a little bit more. I mean, I guess how do you like that?
For me, yeah, I honestly do like it, because for me, I mean, I like games more than training. I mean, I don't know if that's everyone, but I love playing in games. But I think it's just going back to what you know, like falling back on your sword, I would say, a little bit. Like, obviously we're playing different teams with different tactics, but at the end of the day, we just gotta play to our identity and our strengths, and I think it'll work out.
And do you feel like you as an individual, when you're playing, you play better when you're not thinking too much? You're kind of just going with what you naturally
100%. When you're like free flowing, having fun, I think that's when I play my best. When I'm overthinking things a little bit, then I tend to make mistakes. But I would say that's mostly for most players. When they're playing free, they make better decisions. They either take a guy on. Like, they do different things that maybe you wouldn't do. Take more risks, I should say, that they wouldn't do if they were overthinking it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, you guys, around this time last year, it was a rough start, as everyone around this club knows. But, you know, you look at the month of May, how good it was to you guys, I guess how well you guys performed in the month of May, and then every point past that. Yeah. So this is the time of the year where it feels like with that match congestion, you guys have very much responded well. So do you guys feel like with the vibe being obviously better in the camp than it was at this point last year, do you feel like this is the time of year where you guys can really get rolling?
100%. I mean, I think we're on the cusp of that for sure. I mean, we've been scoring a lot of goals. I think obviously we need to just clean up some things at the back, but I think for sure we can hit May rolling and then just get rolling and right rolling into the summer, which will be perfect.
Yeah, and you guys had the match on the road against Minnesota. You're going to RSL. You'll go to Omaha. You know, with some of those flights, I guess I have to ask for you personally, what's your travel setup like? Are you playing chess on your phone? Or are you playing games with other guys?
Nah. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big-time napper. Okay. So on the plane, if it's during a good time, I'm for sure putting on my tunes and I'm out. Sometimes I'll watch a movie, but 95% of the time I'm taking a nap. I'm not going to lie to you.
I like that because I cannot fall asleep on a plane. Yeah. So I wish I was like you. Like I took a flight to the UK about a year ago, and I could not sleep on the plane. I was dying as soon as I got there because it was the morning there, and I wish I could have fallen asleep. I wish I was like you.
Nah, man, I fall. If you ask anyone, they say I sleep the most on the team for sure. I'll go home, it's nap time. All right, today Champions League, but yeah, nap time always.
So is that, I guess, I ask other guys this question a lot, but a day in the life, like when you get out of training, is it usually just straight to napping? Because I talked to John Kempen, who's obviously on the broadcast with me, former Sporting Kansas City player. He said every day after training, it was straight to bed, take a quick nap.
Yeah, no, 100% for me. It's just like, it's obviously I'm tired, but mostly I would say it's for recovery, you know, just to take a nap, recover, reset your day. And it starts in preseason when we have those double days. I mean, it's straight to a nap before the second training, and it kind of just carries on through the season. But yeah, no, straight nap for sure.
Good. Yeah. That's a good way to recover, I'm sure. Yeah, and then, like you said, Champions League coming up. Exactly. You got some games to watch now.
Yes.
But you killed that part of the interview. But now we've got some quick fire questions for you coming up.
It.
So this is the Compass Minerals core questions alongside Caden Pierre. Caden, to start things off, who's your favorite musical artist?
Wow. Well, that's supposed to be quick fire, and I'm thinking.
You're all good.
I would say Drake, but right now I'm going to go Brent Faiyaz.
Okay, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I don't know if I know much by Brent Faiyaz.
Yeah, he's more R&B chill type of vibe.
Okay,
yeah.
So going into the next one, do you pay for your own streaming services? Are you mooching off your friends, maybe your family, any of that?
I would say I used to mooch off my family, but I think now it's kind of more split.
Yeah.
So they see I make money. Now they're like, you can pay for some stuff, It's like, all right, fine, I guess I'll do it. But yeah, I would say a little bit of both.
See, I'm that guy. All my friends are using my streaming services.
Now you gotta charge them a little bit.
I should
you don't have to charge, but like, pick up something. Pick up a dinner for me or something.
I'm gonna start using
favors.
That. I'm gonna show them
simple
this, and
favors.
I'm gonna tell
exactly.
them that. So, who was your favorite soccer player growing up?
For sure, Wayne Rooney. Yeah, that's my guy. I'll die on a sword for that guy.
That's easy.
Yeah,
that's easy. So then, who was your favorite athlete outside of soccer?
Outside of soccer, wow. I probably would say LeBron James. That's
another good pick.
Yeah, that's my basketball GOAT.
There you go.
For everyone in
hot take, maybe, from Caden Pierre.
It is a hot take. I could go on for days, but yeah, that's my guy growing up.
So then what's your biggest phobia?
You know what? I don't think I have, like, a bad phobia, but I remember as a kid, it was really stupid, now that I think about it. But, like, I don't know. We were at, like, this camp, and, like, people were going in this, like, so fear of, like, tight spaces. What is that one?
Claustrophobia,
called?
I think.
Yeah, claustrophobia. So we were going in this, like, tunnel, and it was just, like, but, like, honestly, it was the worst time of my life. Like, I don't know why I tried to do it. Like, I see these kids going in, and, yeah, not again. Yes, I would say that.
So honestly. No tight crawling spaces for you?
No. Like, caves, like, I see the video of people in caves, like, they're going around, like, in this short cave. I'm like, what's the point? Why? For what? No chance.
I think I might be with you on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan.
What's the point?
Yeah. Sweet. That's great, Caden. That is Caden Pierre on the Compass Minerals Core Questions. Make sure to stay tuned next week for more on the Compass Minerals Core Questions. But Caden, you nailed that. I love it. I definitely am with you on that. I don't like the small spaces. It's
not fun.
But
Tingles your body.
Exactly. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll take a quick break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back with more on the Sporting KC Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City all over socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are, you can find Sporting Kansas City. John, I never asked you this in the first segment. I feel like we just kind of got straight to business. We had a lot to talk about, but how are you doing?
I'm good. It's about to thunderstorm out here tonight. It's Tuesday. I feel like it's been raining cats and dogs all week, but if you can't hear the thunder in my mic, it's about to pour outside, but I'm pumped because tonight we've got our adult soccer lot league, which it's my second week doing it. So I didn't touch a soccer ball for like 8 months when I retired. And I think I'm just now getting over the soreness from last week.
Does it feel good to be back? You're like, you know, a couple of those guys that have, that went and played for the Des Moines Menace. You know, they talked about how sore they were and how long it took them to get back. Are you feeling better?
Well, not really. But, you know, speaking of those guys, I think Roger might come out and join us tonight, which will be awesome. I think we got a butt kick last week. You know, I played goalie for a little bit. It was fun. Saved a penalty. But, you know, I think all goalkeepers want to be forwards. Like, that's why we shoot on each other in training. So I'm going to play forward tonight.
Yeah, just casual. I saved the penalty. No big deal. You make it sound like it's easy. I guess the guys playing in the soccer lot league probably don't like the fact that they're playing against a former MLS goalkeeper.
Hey, they beat us, though. Once
that's
I switched
true.
To the field, we lost.
That's fair. I guess, you know, no complaints. It's a completely different game, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what you got in the locker here tonight, John.
Let's do it.
All right, well, Sporting Kansas City, on a more important soccer field, will be playing against Real Salt Lake this weekend. A big one for SKC. We've talked about it week in and week out, how these matches continue to get bigger as the results aren't falling in their favor, because 3 points can really start to get that momentum rolling, and 3 points is crucial at a point where you're starting to slowly fall down the table, and it's not going to be easy against this RSL team. John, as we've talked about, they've been fantastic on the road this year. They haven't been great at home, surprisingly, a place that usually is tough to play, the elevation. You know, it's a very unique stadium. But this team as a whole has been fantastic, and they have a player who is definitely in the MVP race right now. You know, he's in the Golden Boot race right behind Lionel Messi, and that's Chicho Arango. He is playing at a very, very high level. He's been in this league for some time. He's a very talented striker, can put the ball away. He can score great goals. I mean, this team is a very good team, and it's a big chance for Sporting to go out and upset this team, because as we know in Major League Soccer, any given week, anything can happen. And this early in the season, no one's identity has 100% been proven.
Yeah, and to be quite honest with you, I was extremely surprised when LAFC sold him to Pachuca. I mean, he had, what, in 57 games, he had 35 goals. It's pretty good for LAFC. And now he's got 8 goals in 10 matches for Salt Lake. So he's definitely something. We talk about Sporting Kansas City's defense and trying to get a shutout. And he's definitely somebody that they're going to have to keep an eye on. But one thing, as good as they are scoring goals and attacking with him, I mean, they've got the best defense right now in the West. So, you know, obviously Sporting Kansas City is creating a lot of chances. They've been scoring a ton of goals. It is, I didn't even think about the elevation and how difficult sometimes it can be to play there before you said that. And it is a tough place to play. The ball just flies a lot faster. You know, I feel like you can just kick it a lot further. It's harder to see. So, I mean, it's a difficult place to play again. And they're obviously first in the West. So it's not going to be an easy match for Sporting. But at the same time, does Salt Lake maybe look? I know that this is sort of like a rival in a way, not like St. Louis is, but kind of one that's been created because of playoff matches and heated moments and so forth. But do they kind of look at Sporting and go, hey, they're not in good form, and maybe not, you know, maybe it's a trap game like for them, like we've talked about before? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the perfect chance for SKC to go grab 3 points from a team that is flying right now. In their last 6 matches, 4 wins, 2 draws. They haven't lost in their last 6. A big win over Philadelphia, a 4-0 win over Chicago. I mean, this team is in very good form right now. Their last loss was March 9th against Colorado Rapids, who have been a very up-and-down team this year. But I think all things considered, it's the time of the year where Sporting Kansas City historically have turned things around. And they would love to go out there, take 3 points. I think, if I'm not mistaken, John, when Sporting had their first win of the season last year, it was against Seattle, obviously, in Seattle. And that team, if they weren't top of the West, they were pretty high up the table. So it feels, I don't want to say like a similar matchup, because the way last year went was completely different. Yeah. But with the team not playing their best soccer right now, or I guess they're playing good soccer, but not getting the best results. And now in their 11th match of the season, going up and playing one of the best teams in the conference, it feels somewhat similar, and I'd love to see the result go the same way the last one went.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, obviously, Salt Lake, the last time Sporting played them last season at Salt Lake, Sporting went up 3-0 on them. I know that Salt Lake got a red card early, but Sporting ends up winning 3-2. I mean, that might have a little sour taste or bitter taste in the back of their mouth. But I think that it's going to be a tough match regardless. But something to note, too, is Salt Lake also is an Open Cup, right? So if you look at their Open Cup schedule, sure, Sporting goes away to Omaha the following Wednesday. But not only that, is the Salt Lake goes to L.A. also. So they've got to go to New Mexico on Wednesday, and then they go immediately to L.A. to play L.A. Galaxy, who's obviously a very good team right now, battling for that kind of first place spot in the West. So, you know, what kind of lineup do they put out? Do they put out a full squad? That's something to think about as well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, an interesting matchup there. But this RSL team, they are a very well put together team, and you could understand coming into the season why they're sitting at the place that they're sitting, because they have, as you said, a very good defense. I don't know if you said the number, but they've only given up 9 goals, which is tied for Cincinnati as the fewest in Major League Soccer this year. Yeah. But Sporting, on the flip side, as you talked about, has scored plenty of goals this year. And that matchup last year, I think it ended up being a relatively, you know, scary match that it ended 3-2, but Sporting needed all 3 points at a point in their season where it was a really, I guess, tough time. They needed to get above that playoff line. That was enough for all 3 points. Eric Tommy, I think, scored a free kick in that game from what I remember. Yeah, and it was off that red card. I mean, it was just a very good performance that got nervy late, but they pulled it out. I mean, that would be the kind of result that it feels like, not a 3-2, but for Sporting to go into Salt Lake and get a result, a win, especially if they can, you know, see it out late, would feel like it would turn all the narratives on their head. They could go into the Union Omaha matchup with more confidence and maybe rotate the lineup a little bit and then just hopefully start flying after that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's best case scenario, right? For them to go in and do that and get some confidence. And I mean, I don't have the numbers necessarily in front of me, but I just always feel like anytime that we went or that Sporting went to Salt Lake and played, I just feel like they always had a good result. You know, it's just, it's a tough place to play, but it's just one of those places where you almost feel like the underdog and you kind of get extra motivated.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, like the air's so thin and the balls just fly there that, you know, you just take shots, you take your chances. I'd like to see Sporting Kansas City take their chances, right? They have been creating a lot and they have been scoring a lot as well. I mean, they've scored 18 goals, which is one more than Salt Lake, who's in first place in the West. But I think it might've been Shallowy or, Peter said it last week. They said, we have to be ruthless, right? We have to be ruthless in front of goal. Yeah, sure, we've been scoring a lot of goals, but I mean, he was like, he talked about the LAFC match and he talked about, I think it was the Portland match. Like, they could have had 5 goals, you know, 4 goals, whatever it might have been. They still could have had, you know, they scored 3 goals in the last few matches, but they could have had more. And I think that he wants them to be more ruthless and score 4, 5, 6, whatever it might be. And obviously try and keep a clean sheet or at least limit the chances. But I think that the term he's been using lately is ruthless.
Yeah, and I think you can understand why he's saying that, because he also said earlier in the year that you have to find your ways to win games. It's not always going to be the same. It's not always going to be pretty. But if this team's going to concede 2-3 goals in matches, they've got to score 3 or 4, you know, in those same matches. And so you've got to find your ways to win. And that's, I think, kind of what he means when he says we've got to be ruthless, because those chances haven't necessarily they haven't been stopped defensively, but they know they can score more goals. So if that's what it's going to take to win games, there are plenty of good teams out there who concede goals and score even more goals. So I'm curious to see, John, because you talked about it a little bit, but the rivalry, because this has kind of been a rivalry that went dormant for a little bit. Obviously the 2013 years when Sporting beat RSL in the MLS Cup final, you know that all too well. Obviously you were on the team in those years. But then you look after that for, you know, a couple years, it felt like it started to go dormant a little bit because there weren't as many big matches against them. And then you have, I think it was 2019 when Sporting played RSL. It might have been 2020. I don't actually remember. It might have been 20. I think it was 21 now that I'm thinking about it. I'm mixing up years here because COVID. I can't remember if it was on the good side of COVID or the bad side of COVID, I guess, front or back end. I think it was 2021. Sporting Kansas City was essentially robbed on decision day from the first place spot in the Western Conference because RSL scored a goal late that the referees then came back and apologized for. And then RSL later knocked Sporting out of the playoffs when SKC had essentially the path paved out if they wanted to go ahead and, you know, make it all the way to the MLS Cup final and host. it didn't work out that year. And I think that's when it kind of started to get this rivalry maybe a little bit more juice. And I think guys like Daniel Shalloway have talked about some of their disdain for this team. So do you feel like that kind of comes into play with this team that maybe has some guys that weren't on that team, but still maybe feel some of those feelings?
I actually think that this goes all the way back to 2012-2013 era, where obviously Sporting beats Salt Lake in the MLS Cup, 2013 MLS Cup final. But even before that, we would always go down to Arizona. We would go to Scottsdale or Tucson or whatever it might be for preseason, and we would have to play Salt Lake because they were always kind of, you know, they got their academy down there, and they always would go there, and we would always play them. And I just remember that those games were just dogfights. I mean, speaking of Roger and obviously playing tonight in our soccer lot league, I think he had a tackle on, I want to say it was like Beckerman or somebody. And it was like, I mean, it was a red card, Rojo Roger, right? And red card, benches clearing, like brawl, like the game was abandoned, I think, because it's just like, I think like the coaches, like all this stuff. I mean, I don't remember what year that was. I want to say it was like 12, which is why it was such like a heated 2013 MLS Cup final. But that just goes to show you that, I mean, there's been bad blood. And I know players have been in and out, and a lot of those players aren't still within the organizations. But regardless, I want to say that that rivalry sort of stemmed all the way from that. And it's just kind of been through the years, you know, slowly kind of evolving a little bit. And like I said, I still think St. Louis is Sporting's biggest rivalry and kind of a real one. But this one is just stemmed from matches in critical times and you know, just hard fought battles, I guess.
Roger Espinoza and Kyle Beckerman, first off, two legends of Major League Soccer right there, but I can imagine the fire between those two guys. We saw it in plenty of regular season or playoff matches in MLS, but gosh, that's got to be a fun one in preseason to see those two just going after it and, you know, getting a match suspended. I can't say I'm surprised though, because in preseason you definitely don't want to mess with that too much. You just want to say, hey guys, like let's go.
Yeah, well, I think the match was almost over anyways. I think it was like the 80th minute, and you know, obviously you don't want to get any injuries and stuff after that for when you're just in preseason. But you know, regardless, I think it's just always a fun match against Salt Lake, and it's always a tough one. But you know, I think Sporting Kansas City are kind of at the point where they're starting to have nothing to lose, right? And they have developed that identity, and it seems to be an identity of scoring goals and creating a lot of chances, where in the past it's usually been a solid defense, right? And it's kind of flip-flop. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun match, and you know, I'm interested to see how Sporting deals with Chichi Arango and obviously his scoring rate.
Yeah, and a fun, well, maybe not fun note, but a note that I, you know, talk about the 2012 team. I was doing a little research because I thought, you know, Sporting's identity is different this year. They aren't, you know, locked down defense like that 2012 team was, that doesn't concede goals at home, you know, that doesn't concede goals in general. But that team in 2012 conceded 12 goals the entire season at home. Sporting Kansas City, in, I think it was in their last, or in maybe four matches total, I don't remember the stat exactly, but they've conceded 12 goals at home, I believe, in their last four home matches. So it's been a rough run, and it just shows you that year to year identities change a lot. And that 2012 team had a very strong defensive identity. Ideally for this Sporting Kansas City team, the identity becomes, yeah, they become a little better defensively, but overall they're very good going forward, and maybe we'll just see them score more goals than other teams. You know, that's one way to get 3 points. It doesn't matter how, it just matters that you get all three.
Yeah. I think that, like I said, like they're at that point now where some of these guys are heating up in terms of Alan Polito. I think Willie Gattas had a really good season so far. And then Daniel Shalloway. And I think you saw Johnny Russell coming back, and you see Kyrie Shelton coming back, and he can kind of play wherever. I think it's going to be important to get Jake Davis back this match. I think he, you know, obviously has been one of Sporting's best players this season. And I think he brings a lot of energy, and he helps create a lot of chances. That first few matches, you know, it was the outside backs who touched the ball the most and created the most chances. So it's going to be good to get him back. You know, for the most part, everybody's pretty healthy. And I think that's something that Peter has really enjoyed having this season, because like he had mentioned, it just makes trainings that much better because, you know, players are playing well and players are healthy. And he says, you know, if you're not healthy, then you're losing out on a chance to play, and you're losing out on a chance to get better and be with those guys. So he's got tough decisions to make on who to start and who to play and who to even put on the bench. But, you know, those are obviously good problems to have as a manager.
Well, as the rain pours here in Kansas City as we record this, and, you know, you've got a big soccer lot matchup coming up tonight with some sporting legends, a couple including yourself on that team. Hopefully the weather holds out for that. Obviously it's indoors, so it doesn't matter. But hopefully the weather then holds out. It looks like as of right now in Salt Lake on Saturday, it's supposed to be 78 and partly cloudy. So definitely should be good weather. The altitude always plays a factor, but it'll be interesting to see how much in this matchup. And hopefully for everyone listening and for ourselves, the team, the coaching staff, they can do like they did last year and pick up 3 points in Salt Lake when they need it. So Sporting Kansas City taking on Real Salt Lake on Saturday. It's a 6:30 start this time, John, I believe, or is 8:30 because it's in the Mountain Time Zone. So 8:30 Central start time. I should probably know that, as I will be on the call with yourself, John, at 8:30 Central on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But of course, if you're watching the match, it's also on Apple TV. So go ahead and tune in this weekend, a big one for Sporting Kansas City. And thank you so much for tuning in here to the Sporting Kansas City Show. We will be back next week with more here on the SKC Show.